Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, on this day, you open the hearts of all your faithful people by sending into us your Holy Spirit. Direct us by the light of that Spirit, that we may have a right judgment in all things, and rejoice at all times in your peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. If you want to.
A reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven there came a sound like a rushing of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. 'In the last days it will be,' God declares, 'that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'" Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 104 responsively. How manifold are your works, O Lord! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Yonder is the sea, great and wide, with its swarms too many to number, living things both small and great.
There go the ships to and fro, and Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it.
All of them look to you, to give them their food in due season.
You give it to them, they gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things.
When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their death.
You send forth your spirit, and they are created. And so you renew the face of the earth. You look at the earth and it trembles. You touch the mountains and they smoke.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my being.
May these words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, it is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Bear with me, I seem to have lost my place. This is known as a committee to do the lessons.
Here.
I'm not sure who's chairman. Thank you. I told Pastor that if something went south on me, I was going to call for my pastor. And there she was. Thank you. A reading from 1 Corinthians. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
So Vicar Joshua is away this weekend.
And he is preaching at his home church up in near LA. His nephew, Benjamin, is being baptized today. And Jessica and Jeremy invited Joshua to come and be the preacher at the baptism. And Jeremy graduated from seminary yesterday. So we offer lots of congratulations to that part of the Serrano family. And what a great day. Well, since Joshua and I were both preparing sermons on the same texts, we spent a little time during the week sharing ideas and preaching paths. So Tuesday, where do you think you're going to go? Wednesday, where are you leaning now? Thursday, well, how's your sermon coming? And Friday, don't ask me. That was Joshua. Don't ask me. Joshua does his best sermon writing in a coffee shop. And so he goes up to Pete's or maybe up to Java Beach or some Starbucks someplace. And he likes the stimulation of the people coming and going. I think he likes the stimulation of the caffeine myself. But so he comes back on Friday evening and said, I said, so what's the theme of your sermon? I hope you've got the theme now. And he said, the theme of my sermon is the Spirit is a gift. Well, that's good. And he said, what's the theme of your sermon? And I said, mine is the breath of the Spirit. Good. And he said, don't tell me about it because I don't want to get confused. And the same went for me to him. You know, symbolizing the giving of the Spirit, Jesus breathes on the disciples. That word, breathes on, is only used one time in the New Testament, in this passage, when Jesus breathes on the disciples and gives them the Spirit, peace be with you, and then he breathes on them. But in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, this passage, or this word for breathes on, is used a number of times. First of all, in the book of Genesis, when there is nothing in the world, God begins to create, and he forms a human being out of the clay. And then God lifts up that clay person that he just made, and he breathes into its nostrils, and life becomes apparent. God gives life by breathing into it. In the book of Ezekiel, the same word is used. When Ezekiel looks out over that field of dry bones, and God says, what could make these bones live again? And the Spirit of God, the breath of God, brings life so that those dry bones might live. And then in one of the books of the Apocrypha, that's not in our ordinary Bible, it's in a lot of people's Bibles, the book of that was written by Solomon, the book of wisdom, God breathes life in the living Spirit into the community. And that same word, he breathes on them. And every time that word is used in the New Testament and in the Hebrew Scriptures, it always means not just causing wind, you know, like breathes on, but breathes on in a way that causes life. I think this is a perfect word for the Holy Spirit. God gives life. God breathes the Holy Spirit into us. I have a pastor friend who begins every one of her counseling sessions with the same advice. Three steps. Breathe in, breathe out, repeat. Sometimes in the hustle and the worries and the stresses of life, we need to be reminded to take a breath, to slow down, to breathe. Health experts tell us that shallow breathing that is often caused by stress, hyperventilating, just causes more stress. Those shallow breaths don't bring enough oxygen into our bodies. When someone is depressed, or very sad, you often hear a sigh. That's our body telling us that we have a lack of something, a lack of oxygen maybe. Your body forces you to take a breath, to take a deep breath. When we've got a lot going on, birthday parties, graduation celebrations, Pentecost celebrations, and meetings, we've always got preparations and events. There are times when we need to be reminded to just take a breath. Breathe in, breathe out, repeat. The apostles needed to be reminded to breathe too. Think of all the things that have happened in the past 50 days as we remember what was going on in that first century church. That wonderful but sad Last Supper celebration where Jesus said goodbye to the disciples and then he prayed for them. He prayed for them. And then his arrest and his crucifixion. There was a lot of sighing going on that Friday and Saturday as the disciples watched and wondered, now what? Sighs of confusion, of disappointment, of loneliness, of depression. And those sighs turned into gasps of wonder on Sunday morning when they heard the news and then saw with their own eyes that Jesus had been raised. And then continued gasps as Jesus continued to teach them about forgiveness and love and the kingdom of God. And just as the disciples had caught their breath, Jesus tells them again that he would be leaving them. And they watched, breathless, as he was taken from their sight. They probably felt like the wind had been knocked out of them. Their sighs of stress and confusion would have been audible that day as Jesus told them to go back to Jerusalem and wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. They did go back, and they waited. They didn't know what they were waiting for. They didn't know how long they were going to wait. After all, they had just experienced miracles and the death of their leader and the resurrection and then the ascension. And then Jesus says, and I'm going to send my spirit. I'm sure they were saying, oh, I know exactly what that's like. They had had so much. Jesus had taken them on this journey. And now what? They were waiting. They waited in wonder and anticipation. What is this? And then they heard a wind. Not a flutter like the curtains blowing a little bit, but a gale force that shook the whole house. And each one was filled with the breath of God. They were so filled with the power of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the holy breath that they couldn't hold it in. They were inspired. They were on fire. These stressed out, closed mouth disciples suddenly were preaching about the wonderful, mighty works of God and who God was and what God had done in their lives. And the people listened. Some of them thought that these God-proclaiming disciples were drunk. They couldn't explain it any other way. It would be like, how would you explain it if you walked into a Lutheran church and people were dancing? We'd say, oh, I know what's going on there. Got into the altar wine, I guess. They couldn't explain it. These disciples, they knew they were Galileans. They had seen them around the city. They knew who these people were. And all of a sudden, they were so filled with God's power and God's proclamation that they couldn't stop talking about it. And not only that, they were each hearing it in a way that they could understand, in a way of their own language. How would that be today? How could we do that? If I was going to say something in the language that each of you would understand, I could pull out my South Dakota accent a little bit, and some of you could really relate to that. I'd have to go to my culture coach and ask Anthony what kind of language I should use to really meet the young teens and 20s. I would have to talk to somebody who's a little bit older than I am to find out what kind of language would be the best. Sometimes when we think language, we think, oh, it must be in Swedish or in German. But I think that today, when we're talking about everybody hearing in their own language, maybe we should think about how we talk to people. Maybe I should just send a text to Haley and tell her the good news about what God's going on, what's God got going on in the world. She'd probably pay more attention to that than a church bulletin, right? Right? So in your own language. So today we celebrate in the church that each person hears God's language. Each person hears God filling each person with that Holy Spirit. There were thousands of people in that crowd, and they couldn't help but hear. Now, we've got lots of ways we can not hear a sermon. We can just wait for it to be over. We can do our own thinking, planning what the rest of our day is. I don't see anybody with earbuds, but, that could happen, or texting. That could happen as well. But we've got our own ways to close off what we don't want to pay attention to or that we are just not paying attention to. But that day, there was no way that anyone could not pay attention to that sermon. Luke tells us that 3,000 people became disciples as a result of hearing that sermon from Peter and the other disciples. This was the birth of the church. The Holy Spirit broke out from that little crowd and spread to the whole world. People from far and wide, all kinds of languages, all kinds of traditions, all speaking of God and how God was at work in their lives and in the world. And I think this is an important part of the Pentecost message. It's not just what God did 2,000 years ago in Jesus Christ at that time. Peter wasn't just talking about that, but he was talking about how God is alive and working in people everywhere, every day. So in the Pentecost message, you should turn to the person next to you and say, "This is where God is working in my life." That's the power of Pentecost, that we share that Holy Spirit that we have. This is what God's doing in my life today. To tell that story is to tell the Pentecost story. That's how God's church, the body of Christ, grows in the world today. Do you still have those balloons? Pretty dead, isn't it? It's a dead little balloon. But even with breath, it isn't going to go anywhere until that power is released. Can somebody blow up their balloon? I don't have mine anymore, so I can't blow. There you go. Okay. So now, when you blow up that balloon, when the wind and the Spirit is within you, okay, put it up and let it go. Okay. Yeah, okay. You don't know where it's going to go, but you do know this. It's going to go somewhere. It's going to go somewhere. But it doesn't go... Go ahead. It doesn't go anywhere until you release it. Jesus didn't give the power of the Holy Spirit to those disciples so that they could stay behind the locked doors in fear. It was a power given to move people out into the world. Even if we don't know exactly where we will end up. What happens to the balloon after it's spent? What happens to the balloon after it's been emptied of the Spirit? It seems, again, lifeless and out of breath. We are not like the balloon. Jesus promised that God's Spirit would be with us forever. We will never run out of the Spirit's power. In the waters of baptism, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. But on the other hand, we do need to be renewed, refreshed. We need to be reminded of the power of the Spirit that is ours. That's why we come to the font and to the table week after week. We need refilling. Someone mentioned, someone said to me this last week that the church is like a hospital where people come, how's that go?
Hospital for
sinners. And I like to think of the church as like a gas station where you come to get fueled up again, where we come to get what we need in order to go out to do something else. It doesn't make sense to just park at the gas station. That's not, or just to stay at the hospital after you're well. We need to go out and to do something. We need to receive Jesus again in hearing the word, in sharing the sacrament, and in the fellowship of the faith community. The breath of God is still blowing. The Pentecost tale is not just a story of an event that happened in the past. This is God's continuing story. This is how God works today. This is where God is working today. We are Pentecost people filled with the breath of God. We are Pentecost people filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So breathe in deeply, knowing that you are filled with God's holy breath. Release your breath and tell about God's mighty deeds of power in your life. You never know where the wind of the Spirit is going to blow. You never know where God's word is going to take you. But don't hold it in. Release it. Keep breathing. Step one, breathe in. Step two, breathe out. Keep repeating that. Amen.